Amen. Praise the Lord. That was a great, great song. And, boy, what a blessing. The doctrine in that tied right into my Sunday school lesson from this morning. And what a blessing. Doesn't matter where you are, he'll come to you. Doesn't matter where you were, he came. Amen. There's folks all over this room. He may have come to you when you were in the primary department of the Sunday school. He may have come to you when you had been drunk the night before. But he'll come to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I love that. That is a good song. Joshua 5 is just a good passage here. And I preached about the walls falling down. But I want to talk to you this morning about when Joshua was by Jericho. You find that in verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho. And, you know, before the walls fell down, something had to happen. And it's so important to see, and I trust that God will speak to our hearts today as we consider those words when Joshua was by Jericho. Father, I pray you bless the preaching and use it, Lord, in our hearts and our lives. Help us to learn from it and to grow from it and to be what we need to be. And thank you, God, for coming to me and saving me. And I pray that we'd all be thankful that are saved here today. And I pray for that one that may not be saved, that today they would realize, Lord, that you're coming to them. You're calling them. And Lord, that they would be saved. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We often hear about Joshua fighting the Battle of Jericho and of course, the strange battle plan and all that was involved in that. And it really is an amazing, amazing story. And I'm not going to get into all that. But and it was a great, 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 amazing victory. But this morning I want to go to before that. I want to go to right before that great victory and the things that took place that I think are absolutely crucial. And by the way, it's always true where there's a great victory. Great victories never just happen. Jerichos don't fall down just every day. I mean, they don't. It's not just part of the what happens in life. Great victories. There's always something that goes on before. There's always something that takes place. It may not be a pleasant experience. It may not be the thing that we wanted it to be. But if there's going to be a great victory, there's always going to be something that happens before that great victory. And so we go before the walls fall down, and we come to verse 9 of chapter 5. And it says, the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day, which means a rolling away. And no longer would they have reproach. Now they're in the promised land. Now they're where God told them they were going to be. Now they have God's promise is right before their eyes. And you talk about a place of blessing there at Gilgal. You talk about a people that are now excited and they're thrilled. We're in Canaan, and the Bible says their rejoicing goes on, and it says in verse 10, the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover. So the first Passover in the promised land. Now they're in Canaan, they're keeping the Passover, the first Passover. And again, the Passover would be kind of like us having the Lord's Supper. You know, when we have the Lord's Supper, we think about how that Jesus died on a cross and how he shed his blood so that we could be saved, and how literally sin has got to pass over. You know, our sin's blotted out. It's gone. It's under the blood of Jesus Christ. And we celebrate that pretty much once a month here as we observe the Lord's Supper together. And they're having the Passover. They're in the promised land. They're in Canaan. And it couldn't get any better than this. And they're having a time. Verse 11, they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover. And somehow they found some corn that had been in storage there. And they used that, and they had their unleavened cakes and parched corn in the self same day. And it's a new beginning in Canaan. It's, boy, things are going to be good now. Things are going to be great now. And we no longer in the wilderness, and everything is looking so good. Verse 12, the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And so, boy, there's joy, there's delight, everybody's excited, everybody's thrilled. And then verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. Now understand, this is kind of typical in a Christian life. You'll have a great victory, and then there's Jericho. You'll have a time of rejoicing, and then you see Jericho. You see, Jericho was going to have to be conquered. Jericho was going to, the people would have to be defeated for God's people to move on into the land. They knew there were going to be battles. They knew there would be conflict. They knew there would be trouble. They knew that some would lose their lives. But they now it faces Joshua, and there he is by Jericho. And he's by Jericho, and in my mind, I can only imagine what Jericho means to him. And I come to my first point, number one, and that is the obstacle. All of a sudden now there's an obstacle. Wait a minute, what about our victory? What about our rejoicing? What about our joy? What about all the great things that God has? And you know, again, understand, God told us there would be tribulation. God told us there would be trials. It's not like we're in this thing and we should all be shocked. And yet, boy, when you're standing there and there's Jericho. I mean, when you look at Jericho, and Jericho is a formidable city with huge walls. And I mean, it does not look like there's any way they can win this victory. And so there's a huge obstacle. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. And there he is by Jericho, and he has to be wondering. I mean, he's face to face with walls that have to fall down. They're not going to conquer Jericho unless those walls come down. I'm sure Joshua looked around and probably wondered, you know, what do we have to knock down those walls? What do we have to defeat Jericho? How can we defeat Jericho? But understand, Moses is not there anymore, Joshua. Moses is not there. Joshua, it's all on you. You are the one that is going to be in charge. You're the one. Everything that you do is going to determine if Jericho is going to come down or not. Boy, you talk about a tough thing. That's a huge obstacle. And again, one day he's rejoicing. One day they're having the Passover meal. One day they're praising the Lord. They're eating the fruit of the land of Canaan. And they're all excited about that. And now, here's Jericho. I preached to folks this morning who you have a Jericho in your life. You have a Jericho, maybe it's sin in your life that's just dragging you down. Maybe there's some bitterness in your heart. Maybe there's covetousness in your life. Maybe it's lust in your life, and it's a Jericho. It's huge in your life. And though there are victories all around you, deep down, I mean, you, as you stand alone before God Almighty, there's your Jericho, and you know it's there. Maybe you're starting school this year as a freshman in college, and you're terrified, and your Jericho stands looming big in front of you. Maybe it's your third or fourth year, and there's some things that a class maybe you're afraid of, and maybe you're going to high school for the first time, and you're nervous about that, or you've switched schools and you're scared, and there's a Jericho in front of you, and you just wonder how I'm going to make it. For many, the Jericho is a financial issue in our lives. You know, finance, it's Jericho. There it is. I mean, I've got blessings and God's good and I'm enjoying life, and yet there's Jericho. And right, and here's my path, and I can't just get around this thing. I got to deal with Jericho. Christian, listen, if God puts you on the path and the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and Jericho's on that path that God says go forward, you got to deal with Jericho. You can't just say, well, I'll go around it or I'll go another way. No, God has Jericho there for you so that you can have a great victory. Maybe your Jericho is depression and you're fighting and you're having a hard time with that. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's some prayer request and you're begging God for some kind of a miracle to take place. Maybe you're a teenager and you just got back from Shawnee and you were so excited and you gave testimony on the bus and you shed tears and you were thrilled, and then yesterday came. And all of a sudden there's Jericho, reality. There's Jericho, the old crowd. There's Jericho, the old temptations. There's Jericho right in front of you. I think if we would put ourselves in Joshua's place with our Jericho, I think we could start to understand how Joshua felt. Hey, Joshua, you're the leader. You're in charge. I'm sure Joshua thought, you know, I'm going to go ask Moses what to do. But Moses isn't there anymore, Joshua. It's up to you. What are you going to do, Joshua? What are you going to do? What will you do with this obstacle that is on the path you know you have to take? You know you have to go down that path. And there stands Jericho in your way. When Joshua was by Jericho, it's an obstacle. An obstacle. And you know, that's the way our lives are, folks. That's how you grow as a Christian. I mean, salvation, what a great thing when you get saved. What a wonderful thing. And I wish folks would just really be more excited about their salvation. But honestly, what a great thing. And I remember getting up off the floor from kneeling by my bed and praying and asking Jesus in my heart. And the burden was lifted. The burden of sin was gone. And I didn't understand all of that, but I knew it happened. And I stood up. And then, though, boy, there were some Jerichos in front of me. And you know, that's how it is. That's growth in our lives. New walls, new victories, new jobs to do, new ways to grow. Number one, the obstacle. Number two is the occasion. Occasion. Do you understand? Without obstacles, without problems, without Jerichos, our Christian life would be rather boring, don't you think? You say, I'd like to try it sometime. Well, you just wouldn't grow. You wouldn't grow. I mean, come on. A little child, the little babies, you know, they crawl around for a long time and they're pretty safe crawling. When do they start getting into trouble? When they get up. But I mean, you're glad they got up. You filmed it. Amen. I mean, you videotaped them getting up. I mean, you did everything you could. You had the video, the VCR, I want to say the Super 8 camera. They don't do that anymore, do they? You had the VCR, you had that thing, not the VCR, whatever it's called. Anyway, you had that thing there, and you were ready all the time, and you kept ready. You know, and little Poindexter's crawling around and looking at you, and I often wonder if they don't do some things on purpose just to torment parents. You know, because I'm going to capture this thing on film. Not on film. On digital. Whatever. Anyway, I can't. Anyway. So you know, and you're ready to do. And we think that's such a great thing. And little Poindexter gets up and falls. Gets up and falls. Gets up and falls. Amen. That's why they have all that extra padding. Amen. Pampers, extra padding. And I mean, they get up and fall and get up and fall. And they'll walk a little bit and fall. And they'll get up and walk a little bit farther and they'll fall. And you know what? If they don't fall sometime, they don't ever grow up. And the same thing's true for a Christian. Now look, little Poindexter can keep crawling the rest of his life. And I guess, you know, I guess that's fine. But you would be very disappointed. You know, God's very disappointed if we keep crawling all our Christian life too. And if you're going to just keep crawling so you don't have to face Jericho, what a sad thing. Because you're missing out on what God has for you. And you're missing out on how big God really is. There was an obstacle, but there was an occasion. An occasion. And verse 13 says this. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. That means he didn't leave it. Means he didn't try to go around it. Means he didn't retreat. He was by Jericho. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And here's a crisis in his life. You know, oh, what am I going to do? Here's a man with a sword drawn. Now, he knew this man was special. Some say he was an angel, but I believe it was Jesus. And I believe Jesus stood there and Joshua is, I mean, he, you know, this is a crisis in his life. What's he going to do? We see many crisis events in Scripture. And of course, we had Jacob with the ladder that he saw, angels ascending and descending out of heaven. And we have Balaam, of course, with the crisis where his donkey stops and it has to get Balaam's attention. And we see a crisis with Saul on the road to Emmaus. And a crisis takes place where all of a sudden, I mean, a bright light. And I mean, Saul, his life is changed forevermore on the road to Emmaus. And this thing takes place. This occasion in their life took place, literally changing everything. And I mean, these occasions are needed in our lives. It could be a church service. It could be a Shawnee conference. It could be a teen meeting. It could be in a school chapel. It could be on your knees praying to God. It could be alone reading your Bible. I'm talking about where God Almighty gets your attention and you say, hey, I'm not sure what I'm going to do about this thing. But the man of God says, I got it under control. God says, I'm going to take care of this. God says, it's going to be okay. And we may shrink from that, and yet it's just exactly what we need. Sometimes these things are needed in our lives. And here Joshua is by Jericho, and it is a major period in his life. It is a crucial period in his life. You'll see why in just a minute. I'm talking about this is going to make or break Joshua. Joshua is either going to go down as a great leader or he's going to be a huge flop. And right here, this little passage of scripture, I believe is the turning point in his life. I believe it's a turning point as it was with Jacob being either Jacob or Israel. I believe it's a turning point as it was with Saul being Saul or being Paul. I'm talking about it's a crisis. I'm talking about it's an occasion in one's life. It could be conviction in our life. It could be God speaking. It could be on the altar at the end of this service. It could be anytime, any place, anywhere. It can be God just getting a hold of you. It could be God getting a hold of us. It can be God dealing with His people. As don't we expect God to do that? Don't we expect God to do that? I imagine Joshua there by Jericho. He's looking at the walls. I imagine Joshua, he's putting together his battle plan. I imagine Joshua as he considers those walls, as he considers the army behind those walls, as he considers how many lives will be lost. And I imagine Joshua saying, I don't know what to do. And then the occasion takes place. God says, I know what to do. I know what to do. It's a major, major period in his life. But watch this. He's pondering. He's praying. And God interrupts him. By the way, no man's ever the same after God interrupts you. But what was he doing? He was pondering. He was praying, I believe. He was by Jericho. He was wondering. He was hoping. Psalm 46 verse 10 says this, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. You know, so many folks will fret about Jericho. They'll worry about Jericho. They'll do everything they can. They'll find out all the information they can about Jericho. They'll do this and they'll do that, and they'll worry about Jericho, and they'll fret about Jericho, and they'll maybe talk about Jericho. And God says, be still. Just be still and know that I am God. Be still. Do not forget to take that time where you get alone with God and you just measure up your Jericho. God, you see it? That's big. God, you see those walls? They're huge. God, I can't see behind those walls, but I hear there's thousands of people back there. God, they have weapons. I know you see that, God. That's a big place. So many of us miss the occasion because we're not still. We'll come to church haphazardly. You have a Jericho in your life. You know what you should be praying? God, give me something today to deal with Jericho. God, I'm going to church today, and I'm so glad I can go to church today. First, I'm going to Sunday school. Give me something to deal with Jericho in Sunday school. God, please give me something in the morning service to deal with Jericho. This problem, this big thing in my life, this obstacle that's keeping me from going forward. God, give me something that'll help me with Jericho today. And God, tonight, please give me something that'll help me with my Jericho. Give me something that will show me how I'm going to win this battle and overcome this obstacle. Thank God for His interruptions. Thank God for His time. And Joshua's by Jericho. He lifts up his eyes. He looks. Behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? That's number 3 an observation. Here's this man standing with a sword. Obviously, gets Joshua's attention big time. And the observation, art thou for us or for our adversaries? You know, that's one of the things I like about Joshua. He was wholly devoted to the cause of God. And he only saw two sides. Us or our enemy. Just two sides. You know, I'm so frustrated with the Christianity that we have today that makes everything gray area material. Well, you know, it all depends on what you believe. And no, there's just two sides, folks. That's all there are. There's just two sides. Us or our adversaries. Let me ask you, your Jericho that is blocking the way here, is it for us or for our adversaries? Is it for you? Is it going to help you? Or is it going to help your enemies? I mean, just two sides. That's the way Joshua saw it. It's either right or it's wrong. That's it. Okay, so what do I have to do about Jericho? Well, you can do right or you can do wrong. Doing wrong would be retreat. Doing wrong would be going around it. Doing wrong would be trying to avoid it. You know? What are you going to do? Us or our adversaries. Every decision, every area of growth in our lives, every major move in our lives, there's two sides. Amen. And that's good to know. It's good to know who your enemy is. Okay, is this for your flesh or is this for your spirit? Is the solution going to help your flesh? Is it going to help your spirit? Is it going to help the world or is it going to help your spirit? Is it for Satan or is it for God? Two sides, always. Don't get muddied up with confusion of the gray area syndrome, you know? And the idea of being lukewarm. Jesus said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You know what's amazing? Jesus said he'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. Yeah, that in-between stuff, forget that. Just two sides. You know, as you attack your Jericho, there's all kinds of battle plans, but ultimately there's a way to approach it that is wrong, there's a way to approach it that's right. Two sides. That's it. Yeah, there might be several right things, but there's always going to be a wrong. And obviously, what's Joshua going to... Okay, Joshua maybe has all his books out that describe victories that should not have been. You know, maybe he subscribes to military victories that were miracles. And he reads that. You know, he's going over everything. Okay, Joshua, there's a right way, there's a wrong way to conquer Jericho. But see, again, it goes back to be still. And know that I am God. Art thou for us or for our adversaries? There's just... Whose side are you on? Well, clearly we find out whose side he's on. But listen, he said, I don't want to listen to anybody else. If you're for us, I'm with you. I'll listen to you. If you're for us, then I don't want to hear what anybody else has to say. If you're for us, then you know, God wants you to listen to him. God wants you to listen to him. Well, so-and-so called me and said, no, God wants you to listen to him. Well, I read this book and it said, okay, fine, but God wants you to listen to him as you deal with Jericho. God wants you, and Joshua wants to know, okay, whose side are you on? Verse 14, he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Now we've got a whole other part of the observation here. Whose side are you on? Well, I'm on the side of the Lord of hosts. I'm the captain. Oh, there comes... Joshua's got to be, you know... Now, I think Joshua was looking for Moses a lot during this time. But now this man, stands here and says, he's the captain. Captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? Now, I'll be honest with you. Some folks would rebel and want their own way. Wait a minute, what's the issue here? The issue is getting past Jericho, right? The issue is the wall's coming down. Amen? The issue is I got to move forward. I cannot move forward as long as Jericho stands. As long as Jericho's there, the armies are there, all of that, we have to defeat Jericho, period. That's the issue. Okay? I mean, Joshua could have gotten in a big argument about who the captain really is. Wait a minute, I'm in charge here. I'm in charge here. And some would rebel and want their own way, and many do, right at invitation time. Many rebel, many want their own. Well, this isn't what I planned. This isn't what I thought. Listen to me. The Prince of Heaven doesn't come to take the place of a private in God's army. He's either captain or he's not. You want to fight Jericho. You want to move on. You want to move forward. You better make sure you know he's the captain. You better make sure you know, okay, God, you're the captain. If he's not the leader, then he's not. Do you understand? Jesus isn't. He didn't say, come under, or he didn't say, I'll follow you and make you fishers of men. He said, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. He's the captain. Okay, you want Jericho to come down? You want to go on? You want to move in your Christian growth? Hey, you want Berean Baptist Church to move forward? Then you got to understand, he's the captain. You want a victory in your life, young person. You want to have victory with the decisions you made at Shawnee, and you say, yeah, I've done it before, and now I'm afraid I'm going to struggle again. Listen to me. You need to make him the captain. You need to decide there's two sides. And when Jesus says, hey, I'll be your captain, you need to say, I want you to be my captain. Jesus is not the servant of the church. He's the head. I can imagine Joshua might have been trembling a little bit because he thought he was in charge. Amen? You know, can you just imagine that? I mean, but no, Jesus is in charge. He was just a follower. What's Christ's place in your life? What is his place in your life? Is he the leader or is he the follower? Huh? Don't you think it's time to let him lead? Verse 14, we see the opportunity. And here it is. I mean, Joshua, what are you going to say? Joshua might have said, you know what? I'm in charge here. That's what so many say at invitation time. Listen to me now. Come on. God speaks to our hearts about our Jericho. Could be some sin in our life. Could be lust. Could be temptation. Could be something in our lives, a bitterness that goes way back years and years ago. And the invitation time comes and God says, you need to deal with this. You need to go forward. You need to pray about this. You need to get this thing right. And you say, oh, wait a minute. It's exactly what happened to Joshua. God says, wait a minute. I'm the captain. You just need to follow. Well, yeah, but wait. Whoa, wait a minute, God. I don't want to do that. And you know what you do right then? You say, God, I don't want you. And I'm not going to follow your lead. Okay, teenagers, the difference in those that will keep the decisions they made and those who will not is that right there. You are either going to follow Jesus and let him lead you, or you're going to do your own thing. And the difference between Jericho falling down and Jericho standing is what you're going to do, Joshua. And so the opportunity is here. The opportunity is here. And verse 14, it says, and he said, nay. I'm sorry. Yes, verse 14. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his, notice what he said, servant. What saith my Lord unto his servant? Who's going to lead? Who's going to lead? Well, so-and-so said, okay, who's going to lead? What'd God say? What's his word say? He fell on his face. He fell on his face. How many times have I had to fall on my face and say, okay, God, you're right. You're the captain. It's hard. I'm not going to stand up here and say, oh, this is just a piece of cake, because we're proud. But, yeah, okay, it's either this. Okay, you either make him captain or you do it on your own. Joshua had absolutely no way in this world to knock down the walls of Jericho on his own. It's not going to happen. Do you understand? Your bitterness that's in your heart, it's not going to go away. You're not going to make it go away on your own. Okay, that bad habit, it's not going to go away on your own strength. What's he saying? Joshua's saying, I see. And I need your help. Don't you think it's time to let him lead? By the way, this step is absolutely crucial in this victory here. Totally crucial. You say, well, you know, I mean, I've let God lead. Okay, how about if God tells you, okay, here's how we're going to take her down. Okay, when God, and I promise you, God's told me this many times. Okay, here's how we're going to win the victory here. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to circle the city 6 times. 6 days. What? Yep, we're going to circle it. And on the 7th day, we're going to circle it 7 times. And then the walls are going to fall. I'll be honest with you. God has led me on some plans that I really didn't understand. But is he the captain or not? Is he your captain or not? It's up to you. Because I got news for you. Joshua kind of surrenders. He sort of surrenders. He sort of makes a decision. He sort of goes forward, or maybe he makes his decision in his pew because he's just still not really sure. And when God tells him the plan, doesn't happen. No, with his whole heart, you're the captain. By the way, nowhere do we see Joshua praying for humility, but he was humbled by God's presence. And he fell on his face and surrendered. Who's in charge, Joshua? He is. Well, wait, I thought you were in charge. No. The captain's here. I'm his servant. And so he asks the question, what saith my Lord unto his servant? He had a humble heart. When you have a humble heart, listen to me now. When you have a humble heart, you have open ears. Amen. Always. Genesis 17:3. Look at it real quick. Just about done. Genesis 17:3. The Bible says, Abram fell on his face and God talked with him. It's not so much with your face on the ground that's the important part. The important part is the submission to God. God talked. It's the submission. It's the saying, whatever you say, God, I'm humbled. Hey, your Jericho that's stopping you, whatever it is in your path that's keeping you from going on, whatever it is that's messing your life up and you can't grow, you can't seem to get past this thing, whatever it is, maybe there's a couple of them. I'm just saying this. I'm saying, isn't it time to let God be the captain? Let him be the captain. Fall on your face before him, and when you do, he'll talk to you when you're ready to listen. Let me ask you a question. If we won't even go forward in a church service, what in the world makes us think that we will listen to God any other time with major crises in our life? When we don't even listen to him in an invitation. And we come to the last thing. First of all, I said there was an obstacle. Second, there was an occasion. Third, there was an observation. Fourth, there was an opportunity. And fifth, is obedience. Simply obedience. What saith my Lord unto his servant? Verse 15, the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua. By the way, you ask him, he'll say. Always. You ask him, he'll tell you. Somebody says, well, how do I know what God's will is? He'll tell you. Somebody just this week came in. How do I know? How will I know? He'll tell you. Well, how does he tell you? He tells you. You know. Well, it's no different than a parent telling their child when they want something to happen. You know. It's not a hint. It's not camouflaged. Boy Nexter, mow the grass. I'm still trying to figure out what he meant. Yeah, you'll try to figure it out for not very long. Bertha, wash the dishes. I just can't interpret what mom really wants. She'll help your interpretation. And it just boils down to this. Obedience. The captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Exodus 3, verse 5. Exodus 3, verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. And that was said to Moses at the burning bush. And I know Joshua knew that story. Joshua, I am he. Take off your shoes because God's here. God's here. Am I going to be God or not? Am I God in your life or am I not God in your life? Okay, you want to get past Jericho? Take off your shoes. You say, taking off his shoes? That brought the walls of Jericho down. It's just like an invitation. It's just like a youth conference. The kid goes forward and cries. How many lives? It's like a vacation Bible school. It's like chapel in a Christian school. It's like sitting alone reading your Bible. Changes your life when God says do this and you do it. Obedience. And Joshua did it. It indicated reverence. It indicated he recognized this is God. And God is going to take care of Jericho. And he submitted to his guidance and his leadership. Understand this, folks. There were many wrong ways to attack Jericho. Lots of wrong ways. The one that made the least amount of sense was the right way. In chapter 6, verse 27. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. So the Lord was with Joshua. I ask you a question, is the Lord with you? You say, I don't want to do what God said. Okay, then he's not with you. I'm not saying you're not saved, I'm just saying he's not with you. You folks that have bumper stickers say, God's my co-pilot, then he's not with you. Hello? Oh, no, that's a cute saying. It may be a cute saying and made somebody a lot of money, but it's not right. He's either your pilot or he's not. Amen. Don't get mad. Don't go tear the bumper stickers off. Just change it. He's my pilot. But I'm just saying, what you have to decide. Do you want the Jericho? I wanted you to think about a Jericho in your life. I want you to think about something that's in the way. I want you to think about something that's a problem. I want you to think about, okay, is he the captain or not? Let me ask you a question. If he's not the captain, then who is? No man can serve two masters. There's only two sides. Then if he's not the captain must be from the other side. What a sad thing. No wonder our Jerichos don't fall down. Let God be your captain today. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. I wonder how many here today would say, Preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. No doubt about it. If I were to die right now, I know that I'd go to heaven. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. Raise your hand as a testimony of that. You know you're a Christian. No doubt about it. God bless you. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to point you out. But I wonder if there's someone here who'd say, Preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. If I died today, I do not know whether I'd go to heaven or not. Pray for me. Anyone, just slip your hand up. Say, pray for me. I do not know whether I'm saved. Anyone at all, pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure. How many Christians would say, Preacher, I am saved. I'm a Christian. I know I'm going to heaven. God has spoken to my heart today about something in my life. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Just slip it up. As a Christian, thank you. God bless you. In a moment, we'll give an invitation. I would ask you to come and pray about that decision. It's time to stop saying no to God and say yes to God. I'll do what you say. You say, well, you know, I don't know that that's... All he had to do is take off his shoes. Who's in charge? Father, bless our invitation. Save anyone who's not saved, Lord, please. And I pray that if there's someone here that is a Christian, and many raise their hand, but there's a Jericho in their way, stopping them from going on, from growing, from being what you want them to be, I pray you give them victory. Just, Lord, work in our hearts and our lives and help people to make the decisions you've laid on our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Number 15:15. Lead me to Calvary. God's speaking to your heart today. You have a decision to make. Do not hesitate. Come on the first verse if you need to pray about something. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the instruments play another verse. Any others need to come? What is your Jericho? I just threw out some things that have been Jerichos in people's lives. There's nothing too big for God, though. Nothing. Any others need to come? Something you need to pray about? God's spoken your heart about it. You come. Make him the captain. may have to do it every day. You may have to do it several times a day. Why would I have to do it? Because of us, that's why. But you're always better off with Him as the captain. It's the last verse. If you need to come, come on this verse. Amen. All right. There will be no ensemble practice today, but all the other practices at 5 o'clock will take place. Teams will meet at 5 o'clock. Brother Ray Young will be here for that. And then we will have our men's prayer time and ladies' prayer time also 5 o'clock. Service tonight at 6 o'clock. And again, if you want to stay after, if you have any questions about some of the new policies, some of the programs that they're having at Hiles Anderson, Brother Young, I would be glad to stay and talk with you if you have questions about that. There are some interesting ideas and things that I think you would be interested in, again, if you have students there or if you plan to have students there. And so make sure you plan on that tonight. And let's close in prayer. Brother Craig, thank you for helping us out, leading singing today. Come on up and close in prayer, please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you for the grace that you've extended to us. And Lord, you just help us now, Lord, to put you first in our lives, make you our leader in everything that we do. And Lord, we ask that you'll be with us, bring us back here tonight safely, Lord, and we pray that you'll watch over every one of us and with your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord. In Jesus' name.